We're speaking this morning on the subject of the evidences, or how may I know that I am filled with the Spirit? And tonight, how may I be filled with the Spirit? What are the conditions? How may I receive from God the precious fullness of the Spirit of God? We've been using for our text this last week the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians in speaking on the Holy Spirit in the believer from the book of Ephesians. 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing of the Spirit in the heavenlies in Christ. Our message last Sunday morning was dealing with every blessing of the Spirit. Then on Sunday night, we dealt with the fact that every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. Every child of God is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Then we dealt with the earnest of the Spirit and the sealing of the Spirit in the believer. Then we dealt with 1:17 through the remainder of the chapter, dealing with, not the remainder of the chapter, but about verse 21, dealing with the illumination of the Spirit, the eyes of our understanding being illuminated, that we might know what is the hope of His calling, what is the glorious wealth of His inheritance among the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power that raised Christ from the dead, which is working in us. Then we dealt with grieving the Spirit by staying His hand. We've also dealt with strengthening with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We have little to say of that this morning. Then we have been dealing with the precious infilling of the Holy Spirit, various questions, and this morning and tonight finishing our lectures on the infilling. We'd like to read from the fifth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 17. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another. The first question of two, and they're part and parcel of the same question, how does the fullness of the Holy Spirit come, and how may I know that I am filled with the Spirit? What would be the evidence to me that I am filled? And first, negatively, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily drastic, volcanic, great emotional upheaval, not necessarily an ecstatic emotional upheaval. It may, but does not necessarily have to be volcanic. So many have taught that and testified that when you are filled with the Spirit, you must necessarily have a great volcanic experience. Or we listen to someone testify, and because they had a volcanic experience, we necessarily infer that we must have the same experience. We have been so taken up with the apostolic experiences, we have neglected the apostolic epistles, the apostolic teachings about the Holy Spirit. We think because on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit descended with a mighty rushing wind a shaking building and great gift of tongues, we must also have that now. Or we do not have the apostolic experience. We have confused the accompanying demonstration with the reality. Let me illustrate. We hear some evangelists tell of a mighty experience of salvation, how all of a sudden electric shock struck him on top of the head, coursed through his body, his hair stood on end, his feet tingled, there was electric light came on in his head, great thrilling flood tides filled his soul. Of course, we forget sometimes an experience grows through the years every time you tell it. Though I'm not deprecating the fact that that might have happened. But God doesn't always cause that to happen when you're saved. But some dear sinner thinks, well, if that's the way he got it, that's the way I've got to get it. And if I don't get it like he got it, I haven't got it. Forgetting that your emotional reaction to salvation is not salvation. It's only your particular method of reacting to it. You can be just as saved if you don't shout at all. And I haven't seen two people saved alike, as we've said before this week. We've had the privilege of leading many souls to Christ. And I have seen some saved with much breath beating, much repentance, great loud crying, and then shoutings and testifying and joy. I've seen others saved only with a wonderful peace and satisfaction, knowing that all is right between their souls and God. Some people are just naturally undemonstrative, and others are demonstrative. The same way with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some, and thank God for them, like F.B. Meyer and other wonderful saints of God, have testified the great flood tides of divine fullness until they couldn't hold anymore. Some have shouted and jumped and yelled and laughed and cried and praised God for every demonstration, but others have had no demonstration at all. We thought that that was the necessity, that was the evidence, that was the sign. I held a revival meeting in a tongues church in Miami, Florida. And I've always preached where God ever opened the doors. We were having a wonderful revival, but I think the people missed a little demonstration. A young man met me over on 7th Avenue, member of the church, and he said, "Brother Bragg, are you saved?" I said, "Yes." "Sanctified?" I said, "Yes." "Filled with the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yes." "Spoke in tongues?" I said, "No." He said, "You haven't got it." I said, "Have you got it?" "Yes," he said, "I've got it. I've got Acts 2:4. I said, "You have?" "Yes," he said, "I've got Acts 2:4. I said, "Did anybody see cloven tongues of fire sitting on top of your head?" He said, "No." I said, "You haven't got Acts 2:4. You go back and read it. The idea that any demonstration whatsoever is an infallible evidence that one is filled with the Holy Spirit is erroneous. We shall see any specific gift as an evidence is erroneous. For the Holy Spirit divideth the gift severally as he will. Therefore, to teach that tongues is the infallible evidence that one is filled with the Spirit of God is not scriptural. We shall see as we proceed why. The truth of the matter is, I am a cosmos. I am a world all my own. There's nobody in the world like me. Some people are glad, maybe most of them. I know I am. I have met one or two men that looked like me, and that was embarrassing enough, both for them and me. But there is not another person in the world like me. I am unique. I am a world all my own. Nobody can enter my world except as I permit. And therefore, God has an experience for me that not another soul in all God's universe can experience. God doesn't want us into a common mold. That's why he made us all different. God wants the individualistic love of each of us separate from everyone else. Therefore, the way that I react to all of God's blessings, I don't care what they are, will be different from the way you react. Therefore, you can't set some criterion of reaction to God's blessing as an infallible evidence that one is filled with the Spirit. Look at the illustration of Paul and Peter. Or rather, Paul and John. Paul was vehement. He must burst forth. Every once in a while, he must burst out into a doxology. Life seemed too short for Paul to be able to really express this innermost fullness of the Spirit of God. And he literally burned out for God like a flaming meteor. But the Apostle John was just as filled with the Holy Spirit as Paul. And yet he seems to express the innermost devotions of the heart of Jesus Christ, as he was the one that leaned upon his breast. And his writings breathed the very innermost throbs of the Son of God. But he's just as filled. To say that John wasn't filled because he didn't have Paul's experience, or that Paul wasn't filled because he didn't have John's experience, is to confuse one's reactions with the fullness itself. Now, how do I know I'm filled? I wish we had 2 hours to preach this message this morning. We usually take a couple weeks over at Trinity College to teach it. Now the positive question, how may I know I am filled with the Spirit of God? Well, the Pentecostal movement has a pat answer. You know you're filled because you speak in tongues. That's simple. It seems to answer the question for them. But I've known many a person filled with the Spirit of God that never spoke in tongues. Billy Graham is one. Certainly Billy Graham is filled with the Spirit. And he's embarrassing too to some of them. We had 2 or 3 tongues young people over at Trinity College in our class. And I thank God for them. Sometimes we have some good arguments. They come along and they would say, well, Billy Graham has spoken in tongues. And then they'd give some illustration here and there. And I talked personally to him. Billy Graham never has spoken in tongues. I had a young man ask me one time, Brother Bragg, how do you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Brother, he said, how do you know, what is the best argument you have that tongues isn't the infallible evidence? I said, because the Holy Spirit has filled me with his fullness and he never gave me the gift of tongues. I never have. And it wasn't because I didn't want them if God wanted to give them. I said, Lord, I want everything you've got for me. I've always been hungry for everything that God has. As I said before earlier in this week, I don't want anyone going any higher, any deeper, any wider, any further than the love of God. I want everything that God has. I don't want God to give me some gift that I can't use for his glory. I don't care what it is. How may one know that they're filled? There are several answers I could give this morning. The first one, by faith, as in salvation. Feeling wasn't necessary to know you're saved. You took the premise, you stood upon it on the naked word of God first. Well, I thank God feelings come. I thank God for every feeling there is in salvation. I thank God for every feeling the Spirit of God has given me. But feelings aren't necessary to know you're saved. God said it. You can step out on it when you've met the condition and accepted Christ as Savior and step on the Word of God and know you're saved. Feelings or no feelings. Second evidence one may know he's saved is by the witness of the Spirit. This is true of salvation. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, the sons of God. You'll say, Brother Bragg, what is the witness of the Spirit? I can't tell you. All I know is it's some inner revelation the Spirit of God gives to the heart that all is all right, that you're saved, that you're a child of God. It's a relationship of sonship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This has been very necessary for me. Because I was saved at the age of about 7 or 8 years of age. I don't even know the year I was saved. I can't point back to the day and the hour. I had a godly Sunday school teacher who led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so young in life until there wasn't the volcanic revolution in my life that a person may have after they've served the devil for 50 years and get saved. When I was a young convert, I used to wonder about that. Everybody else would point, they'd say, I know the day and the hour, and I know the place, and I couldn't point to it. Until I studied God's Word enough to see this witness of the Spirit was evidence that I was saved and a Christian life that He put within. The life of Christ was evidence in itself. I needed no other evidence. I don't have a birth certificate either, but I know I'm alive this morning. I can't prove it, but if you'll talk to me and let me shout a little bit and holler at a few things, you'll know I'm alive. That precious witness of the Spirit of God within, that I was born of the Spirit of God, and that God is my Father, and that I have eternal life in Him, is a whole, worth a whole lot more than pointing back to an experience long ago that somebody has already left, almost, as far as its power and life is concerned. Many a person can point back to a time when they were filled with the Holy Spirit because there was a demonstration. But long since, the power and the fullness has gone out of that experience. They're living on a past dead testimony. I'd rather have the present witness of the Spirit of God in my soul that all is well between my soul and God. Have His pulsating life, revealing the life of Christ in me, than some past demonstration, wouldn't you? No, we're filled by the fruits of the Spirit. Here's your real test, by the way. Not some gift, whether it be tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles. Remember this. The gifts are not the evidences that you're filled with the Spirit of God, but the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits, by their fruits you shall know them. For Paul distinctly teaches that you may have the gift of tongues and not be filled with the Spirit. I can prove it from 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. There is the gift of tongues, the tongues of men and angels. And have not love. One can speak in tongues and not be filled with the Spirit of God because they do not have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That's as plain as he can say it. For remember, the devil can imitate every gift that God ever gave. And he does imitate everyone. But he can't imitate the love of the Spirit. It doesn't grow in that kind of soil. And remember, the Pentecostal people will be the first to recognize and admit that there are counterfeit tongues. Remember, the Bible teaches that demons can inhabit an individual and speak in tongues through that person. For the demons know all 3,500 languages on the face of the earth. They spoke to the two demoniacs of Gadara in the boyhood Syriac to talk to Jesus over there in Gadara. They used that man's tongue, but they were the ones doing the talking. They could talk in any language on earth. And I'll tell you something the demons can't imitate, and that's the love of God. Impossible. A man may speak in every language on earth and the language of angels too. A man may have every gift of the Spirit. Paul says he may speak like an angel, preach like a prophet, give like a millionaire, die like a martyr, and still be below zero if he doesn't have love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I don't care how gifted a man may be, but if the love of God doesn't flow out of his heart in copious rivers of fullness, that man is not filled with the Spirit. We shall see in our conclusion, if he doesn't exalt Jesus Christ, he's not filled with the Spirit either. The fruits of the Spirit are enumerated by Paul. They're toward God, they're inward, and they're toward man. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, kindness, and all the rest. Wonderful graces of the Spirit of God coming out in rivers of living water. Not from our own beings, but from the precious fullness of the Spirit of God, bringing the life of Christ within the believer, in all of His fullness. When you can say with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I that live, but Christ. What kind of fruits will your life bear? It'll bear the fruits of the Son of God. This is the answer to those who say you can't live a victorious life. Of course you can. But Jesus can in you. So Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the disposition of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what he means by that? He means that the life I now live is with the faith of the Son of God, the disposition of the Son of God, the hope of the Son of God, the love of the Son of God. All the disposition that was in him is now in me because he's living his life out through. That's victory. That's fullness. Not some charismatic gift of the Holy Ghost. For God has given gifts of the Holy Spirit where even a person is not spirit-filled. As in the case of Saul of the Old Testament, when he prophesied, if the prophecy came upon him, even old Caiaphas prophesied, along with Balaam, who certainly wasn't saved. I have no doubt many a person who has spoken in tongues is not filled with the Spirit of God. It isn't the evidence. We had time, we'd branch off there, but it would require our teaching of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Notice in the context here, you have the evidence you're filled. Notice what he says. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in three kinds of songs. The first evidence in the context here that you're filled will be a melodious heart, a heart in tune with God. Your whole being is in tune with him. And he can play heaven's music in your heart. The Greek here, singing in your heart, is striking the strings of your heart. It's a heart set in vibration with God. The three kind of songs here, these hymns are songs, spirit-inspired songs of the Bible, like those that Paul gave in the first chapter here of Ephesians. Let me tell you something, if the Holy Spirit fills you with his divine fullness, you'll never read the Psalms like you did before. It'll become the outbreathings of your own soul. Instead of just saying the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, you raise your hands to God and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And blessing will roar out of your soul. A melodious heart. Then there are the extemporaneous compositions of the soul. Then there are the studied hymns of the church, inspired like Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, and all the old songs that stir your soul. But it's speaking to yourself, making melody in your heart. What does he mean by that? This changes service from duty to a glorious privilege. People say, oh, it's Sunday again. I've got to go to church. You've got to go to church and meet God and worship him. It's a duty. It's a sacrifice. Oh, Christian, and don't you realize that God is waiting for you here? He wants to meet you. He wants you to offer unto him the praise and worship of your soul. He wants to bless you. Duty? You'll say they're taking up another offering. I've got to give more money. Instead of that, you'll say, Lord, why don't they take up some more offerings? You say, will that be the result of being filled with the Spirit of God? Some of you say, I don't want to be filled that. And it's going to cost me that much. What am I saying? The infilling of the Holy Spirit will take the drudgery out of service for God. It'll take the idea that it's sacrifice to serve God. It'll give a lift to your life, to your testimony. Out of your innermost parts will flow rivers of living water. The second result here is a thankful heart. In all things giving thanks. I don't care what it is. You can lift up your head and thank God for it. I don't care what he brings. You can start singing at midnight in the jail if you're there for the testimony of Christ.
Though the outward man perish,
the inward man is renewed day by day. And in the context is a humble heart.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your own wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't agitate your children. Slaves, serve your masters, not with eye service, but in the sight of God.
The infilling of the Holy Spirit won't make a worse wife out of you, it'll make a better one.
It won't make a worse husband out of you, it'll make a better one.
I don't believe any man or any woman can love each other like they ought to until they've been filled with the Spirit of God.
There'll come a new relationship between husband and wife, wife and husband.
You'll never know how to love those children and rear them for God in the fear and admonition of the Lord until you have in your own life the fullness of the Spirit of God. I thank God for the practicality of this work of the Spirit of God in the believer. It enters into every phase of life. You'll cut a straighter line than you ever did if you're a carpenter. You'll do better work even where folks can't see it if you're a mason, doing the masonry work. I don't care what phase of life, the Holy Spirit will enter into that and sanctify it to the glory of God. Notice further, the Holy Spirit will give gifts. He divided the gifts to every man severally as he will.